and welcome. I'm so glad you've pressed play because in the next 10 minutes, we're going to unlock everything you need to know about An Inspector Calls by J.B. Priestley for your GCSE English Literature exam. Whether you're studying with AQA, EDUCAS, OCR, or another board, this play is one of the most rewarding texts you can study. And once you understand what Priestley is really doing, you'll find it genuinely exciting to write about. So here's the plan. We'll start with the big picture, what the play is about and why Priestley wrote it. Then we'll dig into the key themes, characters, and writer's methods. After that, I'll give you my top exam tips and the most common mistakes to avoid. We'll finish with a quick-fire recall quiz and a summary to lock it all in. Let's go! First, the big picture. An Inspector Calls was written in 1945, but is set in 1912. That gap is deliberate and important. Priestley wants his audience to see the dramatic irony. When Arthur Berlin confidently declares that the Titanic is unsinkable and that there won't be a war, the 1945 audience knows exactly how wrong he is. Priestley uses Berlin as a mouthpiece for everything he despises: capitalist self-interest, complacency, and the refusal to accept social responsibility. The play is set in one room, on one evening, a classic dramatic unity of time and place. This is a key structural point. The claustrophobic setting creates tension and mirrors the idea that the Berlings cannot escape their guilt. Priestley uses the stage directions carefully. The lighting shifts from pink and intimate to brighter and harder when the inspector arrives. That shift from warmth to harsh reality is a metaphor for the investigation itself. Comfortable illusions are stripped away. Now let's talk themes. The most important theme is social responsibility. The inspector's famous speech, "We are members of one body, we are responsible for each other," is Priestley's central message. He is arguing for a socialist, collective society in direct contrast to Berlin's capitalist individualism. In the exam, you should always link this theme to the historical context. Priestley wrote the play just as the welfare state was being established in Britain, and he wanted audiences to embrace that change. The second major theme is class and inequality. Ava Smith represents the working class. She has no power, no protection, and no voice. Her name is significant. Ava echoes Eve, the first woman, suggesting she represents all working class women. Smith is the most common English surname, reinforcing her as an everyman figure. Every member of the Berling family exploits her in a different way, and Priestley structures the play so that each revelation builds the case against the upper and middle classes. Guilt and conscience is the third theme. Priestley divides his characters into two camps: those who accept responsibility, Sheila and Eric, and those who refuse it, Arthur and Sybil. Gerald sits somewhere in between. This division maps onto a generational conflict. The younger generation are capable of change, the older generation are not. Sheila's line, "I know I'm to blame, and I'm desperately sorry," is a model of genuine contrition, while Berling's response is to worry about a public scandal. The contrast is devastating. Now, characters. Inspector Ghoul is the most complex character in the play. His name is a homophone of Ghoul, a supernatural being, which hints that he may not be a real police inspector at all. He functions as Priestley's moral voice, a dramatic device rather than a realistic character. His speeches are rhetorical and authoritative. Notice how he controls the pace of the investigation, never allowing the Berlings to deflect or deny. His final speech, "If men will not learn that lesson, then they will be taught it in fire and blood and anguish," is a prophecy of the two world wars delivered with chilling certainty. Arthur Berling is presented as pompous and self-deluding. Priestley uses dramatic irony relentlessly against him. Every confident prediction he makes is historically wrong. His language is the language of capitalism: lower costs and higher prices. A man has to make his own way. He represents everything Priestley wants his audience to reject. Sheila undergoes the most significant character arc. She begins as a somewhat shallow, privileged young woman. Her first concern is her engagement ring, but by the end of Act 3, she is the moral conscience of the family. Her line, "You and I aren't the same people who sat down to dinner here," shows her recognition that the inspector has fundamentally changed her. Examiners love this arc because it gives you so much to write about in terms of character development. Right, exam tips, this is where marks are won and lost. Tip one, always analyze the writer's methods, not just the character's actions. Don't write "Berling is selfish." Wright Priestley presents Sperling as a symbol of capitalist self-interest through his dismissive language, particularly his use of economic vocabulary such as lower costs and higher prices, which reveals his reduction of human beings to financial calculations. Tip 2, integrate context. Don't bolt it on at the end of a paragraph. Weave it in. Instead of, in 1912, women had few rights, try Priestley highlights the vulnerability of working-class women in Edwardian Britain through Eva's complete lack of legal or economic protection. She can be dismissed, exploited, and abandoned without consequence. Tip 3. Use the unseen extract strategically. If your exam includes an unseen modern prose or drama extract, look for thematic connections to your studied text. Examiners award credit for candidates who can identify shared concerns, responsibility, power, class, even in an unfamiliar text. Tip 4, the most common mistake is retelling the plot. Every sentence you write should be analytical. Ask yourself, am I saying what happens or am I saying how and why the writer presents it this way? If you're just describing events, stop and reframe. Tip 5, remember AO4. That's 4 marks for spelling, punctuation, and grammar. Use a varied vocabulary, vary your sentence structures, and check your work. Those 4 marks can be the difference between grade boundaries. Time for a quick-fire quiz. Pause after each question and try to answer before I give you the answer. Question 1, what does Inspector Ghoul's name suggest? Answer, Ghoul is a homophone of ghoul, suggesting he may be a supernatural or symbolic figure rather than a real inspector. Question 2, what is the significance of the lighting change at the start of the play? Answer, the stage directions shift from pink and intimate to brighter and harder when the inspector arrives, symbolizing the harsh truth, replacing comfortable illusions. Question 3. Name 2 ways Eva Smith's name is significant. Answer, Eva echoes Eve, the first woman representing all working-class women. Smith is the most common English surname, making her an everyman figure. Question 4. Which 2 characters refuse to accept responsibility at the end of the play? Answer, Arthur Sperling and Sybil Sperling. Let's bring it all together. An Inspector Calls is a morality play that uses the conventions of a detective thriller to deliver a socialist message. Priestley's key argument is that we are all responsible for each other, members of one body. The inspector is a dramatic device, not a realistic character. The play's structure, one room, one evening, building revelations, creates claustrophobic tension. The generational divide between the Sperlings maps onto a political divide, those who can change and those who cannot. In the exam, always analyze methods, integrate context, and maintain a clear argument throughout. Use peel paragraphs, point, evidence, analysis, link to context, and remember, examiners are looking for a personal, critical response. They want to know what you think, supported by evidence. You've got this. Good luck and keep revising.